most auspicious occasion of Sri Advaita Acharya's appearance day. Sri Advaita Acharya is a direct expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Arigaur Bhaktavrinda. Lord Chaitanya is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. His first expansion as Krishna is Balaram, and as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nityananda. And then comes Mahavishnu, and Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. All three are in the category of Vishnu Tattva. They are not Shakti Tattva, the energy of the Lord, and certainly not Jiva Tattva, the minute living entities. And as we sang earlier, Dayo Koro Sri Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur is praying to Advaita Acharya to be merciful to him. And Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nitai, that if you are kind to me, then Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya will certainly be merciful to me. So what greater achievement could there be in the life of a devotee than to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda? And that can be achieved through the mercy of Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu. So we shall read some verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Sri Advaita Acharya. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 3. The external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Text 95. Madhavara Ishwarapuri Sachi Jagannatha Advaita Acharya Prakatila Senatha. Madhavendra Puri, Ishwarapuri, Srimati Sachimata, and Srila Jagannath Mishra all appeared with Sri Advaita Acharya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in his human-like form, he sends ahead all his devotees, who act as his father, teacher, and associates in many roles. Such personalities appear before the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there appeared his devotees, like Sri Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master, Sri Ishwara Puri, his mother, Srimati Sachi Devi, his father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, and Sri Advaita Acharya. Prakatiya deke acharya sakala samsara Krishna bhakti gandahina vishaya vyavahara. Advaita Acharya having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Keha pape, keha punye, kare vishaya boga, bhakti ganda nahiyate, yaya bhavaroga. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Purport. Advaita Acharya saw the entire world to be engaged in activities of material piety and impiety without a trace of devotional service or Krishna consciousness anywhere. The fact is that in this material world, there is no scarcity of anything except Krishna consciousness. Material necessities are supplied by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We sometimes feel scarcity because of our mismanagement, but the real problem is that people are out of touch with Krishna consciousness. Everyone is engaged in material sense gratification, but people have no plan for making an ultimate solution to their real problems, namely birth, disease, old age, and death. These four material miseries are called bhava roga, or material disease. They can be cured only by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the greatest benediction for human society. The two verses that we have just read that described what Advaita Acharya saw in the world around him certainly describe the world around us. Advaita Acharya found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. So here we are, in the great city of Los Angeles, which is populated by millions of people. And how many have gathered here on this most important and auspicious occasion? In the temple established by Srila Prabhupada, who's most empowered servant of the Panchatattva, just hardly a handful. Well, where is everyone else? They are absorbed in material enjoyment. Someone might say, well, we don't want to enjoy that much, but we do have to earn a living and meet our expenses. That, of course, is another phase of sense gratification. One is putting oneself in the center instead of keeping Krishna in the center. One is thinking that he's the doer instead of realizing that Krishna is the doer. Actually, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, and I believe he's paraphrasing what his Guru Maharaj used to say, that there is no scarcity in the world. The only scarcity is of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of the donkey. In India, even recently, during the last decades when I was serving in India, I would see these donkeys carrying a huge burden of laundry for the washermen. And at the end of the day, he would get a few morsels of grass. And the rest of the time, he would carry this huge burden. So Srila Prabhupada remarks that grass is growing everywhere. The foolish creature could just wander anywhere and eat grass. But he is so illusioned that he thinks he needs to carry the big burden of the laundry so that at the end of the day he gets some morsels of grass. So, conditioned souls in ignorance are under the illusion that they have to work hard to get food. They are not thinking that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Father. He's feeding living entities in so many other species of life who are not going to the office or the shop. They're getting fed, so why would he not feed those who are engaged in his service? Srila Prabhupada says that any ordinary business, if someone is making publicity for them or doing advertising for them, will pay them. So if we are making publicity for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, broadcasting his glories, will he not maintain us? So people are in ignorance. We're not suggesting that people remain idle and do nothing and hope that food will just drop out of the sky. But we are suggesting that instead of serving mundane masters, one serves the supreme, transcendental master and depend on him. And he will take care of us better than anyone else. In fact, he's the only one who actually can take care of us. Even the others whom we think are taking care of us are not really able to take care of us without the sanction and mercy of the Lord. So this was the same type of situation that Advaitacharya confronted when he appeared on earth. Now, what was his response? Because this is very instructive for us. When we read scripture, it's not just to be entertained or to get some information, but it's so that we can learn something that we can apply in our own lives. So how did Advaitacharya respond confronting the materialistic people around him? Lokagati deke acharya karuna hridaya vichara karena lokera kaiche hitahaya. Seeing the activities of the world, the acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. Purport. This sort of serious interest in the welfare of the public makes one a bona fide acharya. An acharya does not exploit his followers. Since the acharya is a confidential servitor of the Lord, his heart is always full of compassion for humanity in its suffering. He knows that all suffering is due to the absence of devotional service of the Lord, and therefore he always tries to find ways to change people's activities, making them favorable for the attainment of devotion. That is the qualification of an acharya. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu himself was powerful enough to do the work, as a submissive servitor, he thought that without the personal appearance of the Lord, no one could improve the fallen condition of society. So compassion is a natural result of Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writings, has explained that by offenseless chanting of the holy name, and purification of the heart, one will naturally begin to feel compassion for people devoid of Krishna consciousness, and will naturally feel impelled to approach them, to turn them towards Krishna consciousness. People may have the idea that devotees are selfish. They don't care about the world, they just want to chant and be happy, which we do. We do want to chant and be happy. But when one actually does feel some spiritual pleasure, one will want to share it with others. This is the natural tendency of any good-hearted person. Others, there's another saying, misery loves company. And there are people like that. They're miserable. In fact, the whole material world is like they're miserable. And they want others to be miserable in the same way. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that most people who are married suffer. But they have children, and their main concern is to get their children married. Now, this is a very odd situation. They have been married, and they are married, and they're suffering. But they're very eager to get their children married. Why? I think it's something like misery loves company. Misery loves company. But of course, anyone in the material world will suffer. It's not a question of being married or unmarried. One disciple of Bhakti Tirtha Swami, a lady disciple, told me that she had heard that her Guru Maharaj wanted all of his lady disciples to be married. But somehow she didn't have that inclination to marry. But people kept telling her, you know, Guru Maharaj wants all his lady disciples to be married. So she wanted to find out for herself. So she asked him directly. And he replied that if you don't get married, you will suffer. And if you do get married, you will suffer. The only question is whether you want to suffer alone or with someone else. So these are our choices in the material world, because there is no happiness in any material condition. The only happiness is on the spiritual platform. But to come to the spiritual platform requires some effort. And if we don't make the effort, we can't really expect the result. I mean, that's true in any field of activity, whether you're a student or pursuing a career, whatever it is, if you don't make an effort, if you don't apply yourself, you can't expect to be successful. So the effort involved in Krishna consciousness as compared with other processes is very minimal, and not only minimal, but enjoyable. Because of bad habits, like the Bhagavad Gita says, happiness, there's three types of happiness. Happiness in the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning, but nectar in the end. Happiness in the mode of passion is like nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. And happiness in the mode of ignorance is miserable in the beginning and in the end. So, because of material conditioning and bad habits, we might find getting up early in the morning difficult, chanting 16 rounds difficult, reading the scriptures or hearing the scriptures difficult, and eating, you know, a simple, healthy diet of Krishna prasad. But, so in the beginning it might be like poison. Oh, that's, how can I? I mean, when I was in high school, I don't know how I got this idea in my mind, but when I was in high school, I thought that I had to increase my sleeping. It just shows you how perverted our thinking can be. So during my winter holidays, I actually kept like a diary of how much I slept, trying to increase the number of hours and minutes that I was sleeping every night. It's just just the reverse of and yeah, I mean, I would, you know, it's like I wasn't used to sleeping that much, but you know, I was getting, I was like 10 hours, 10 and a half. I was really, really doing good on my winter break. So people have these like different ideas, you know, that you want to eat as much as you can and sleep as much as you can. And so with those bad habits, then they hear, oh, you sleep 6 or 7 hours, get up at 4 in the morning. It's like, ooh, how can we do that? And then, you know, no onions or garlic, what to speak about. Oh, what else is there? Where's the taste going to come from? So this is due to the modes of nature. People are very covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, and therefore their taste is perverted. But by practice, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, by practice, we change our habit and we relish getting up early in the morning. We find this is the best time of the day. And the thought of, you know, onions and garlic, or what to speak of other things, flesh, it's like, ugh, how terrible smell. Ugh, I'm going to get away from it. So this comes from purification, from the process of Krishna consciousness. So yeah, it might be a little difficult in the beginning. Tapo divyam, one does that austerity, makes that effort, in order to experience brahmasokhyam twanantam, unlimited spiritual happiness. But some tapasya, tapo divyam, some tapasya is required. But that's true of anything. That's true of anything. People are always struggling after, I mean, they're struggling to counteract adversity. There's so much adversity in the material world, so much stress, and I mean, we could just go on listing the items of adversity in the material world, you know. And people struggle against it. Their whole time is really engaged in struggling against adversity to counteract the misfortune that befalls them. So it's not that people are not making an endeavor. They are. But they are endeavoring in a very patchwork way. That, okay, you know, I have a headache. Okay, what to do about that? Or I have a stomachache. Okay, now what to do about that? Or I have to get money to pay the bills. Okay, what do I do about that? And then on and on and on. But they're not getting to the root of it. The root of it is that they turned away from Krishna. And because they turned away from Krishna, they came into the material world and are undergoing the hard struggle for existence. If they just turn back to Krishna, then they come under Krishna's protection, under the protection of the divine energy, and they're saved from the hard struggle for existence. Then the struggle is how to bring others to Krishna consciousness. It's completely different. But there is struggle, there is endeavor. But the endeavor is not how to make temporary patchwork solutions, but how to make a permanent solution. And the struggle is, you know, not to exist in the material world, but to bring other people, along with one's own self, to the spiritual realm. So this was the mood that Advaitacharya exemplified to a much higher degree than we can imagine. Apane Sri Krishna Yadi Karena Avatara Apane Achari Bhakti Karena Prachara. Advaitacharya thought, if Sri Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, he himself could preach devotion by his personal example. So this is a very important point. Example is more important than precept. Acharya, that word acharya is related to achar, which means behavior. The acharya teaches by example. As Srila Prabhupada said, if you're smoking a cigarette and you tell someone, don't smoke, well, it's not going to have very much effect because, well, if smoking's bad, why are you smoking? So, on the highest level, the example of devotion to God can be shown by God himself, who, you know, who is better qualified to show us the example of how to serve God and worship God and love God than God himself. And Advaitacharya, even though he was God, or is God, Vishnu, but even the other expansions of Godhead consider themselves to be servants of the original personality of Godhead, Krishna, or Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And this is also an example for us from the Acharya that we should not feel proud of our own capability to preach or deliver others, but we should feel helpless and dependent on our superiors. Of course, in the case of Advaitacharya, he inspired Lord Chaitanya to descend in a manifest form, which we may not be able to do. But in that humble mood, sincere mood of genuinely wanting to help people and feeling incapable, we pray to our superiors, you please come. You please inspire them. You speak through my mouth. Or you inspire them in their hearts. That's the only way anyone can preach. If someone thinks, oh, I'm very learned, I know the scripture, I'm a very good speaker, or I can lead very good kirtan, I have a good voice, I'm a good musician, that's useless. That's useless. That type of pride and self-absorption will not help anyone. It won't help us. What to speak of others. But in that mood of helplessness, like feeling genuine compassion and sincerely wanting to help others, but feeling helpless to do so on one's own, is helpful. And in that mood, we pray to the Lord, to the superior acharyas, to help us. There's one very nice talk that Srila Prabhupada gave in London on the Bhagavad Gita, the beginning. And it impressed me so much that when I first heard it, and this was before computers or folio or anything, that I just like hand wrote, I just listened to that tape, you know, and I'd pause it every so often and just wrote down the transcription of it. But in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is described on his chariot with Krishna. And the phrase is used, kapidvaja, that Arjuna's chariot was decorated with the flag of Hanuman. And Srila Prabhupada explained in such a profound way what was Arjuna's mood on the chariot with Kapidvaja. And he explained that Arjuna's mood was that Hanuman, he also fought for his Lord, Ramachandra. So in fighting for one's Lord, Hanuman is the acharya. So while sitting on his chariot, he was thinking of Hanuman, that you also fought for your Lord, and I also want to fight for my Lord, so please help me. And Srila Prabhupada explained that in all activities, the Vaishnava always feels helpless and dependent on help from the superior acharyas. And he described the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that in every line of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, every word, he is praying to his superiors, Rupa Raghunath, Rupa Raghunatha Padayare Asha, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Said every line, every word, he's praying to the superior acharyas, please help me. And that's the mood of a Vaishnava. So Advaita Acharya is showing us that although he is Mahavishnu himself, the creator of limitless universes, but he's feeling helpless. These people are suffering. They're so engrossed in material enjoyment. And I feel sorry for them. Not like in a condescending way, but I feel compassion for them. I want to help them, bring them to Krishna consciousness. But I can't do it myself. So you please come. You help. Nama vinu kali kale dharma nahi ara kali kale kaiche habe Krishna avatara. In this age of Kali, this is what Advaitacharya is thinking. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. My name Advaita will be fitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. Purport. The non-dualist Mayavadi philosopher who falsely believes that he is non-different from the Lord is unable to call him like Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Prabhu is non-different from the Lord, yet in his relationship with the Lord, he does not merge with him, but eternally renders service unto him as a plenary portion. This is inconceivable for Mayavadis because they think in terms of mundane sense perception and therefore think that non-dualism necessitates losing one's separate identity. It is clear from these verses, however, that Advaita Prabhu, although retaining his separate identity, is non-different from the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous oneness with the Lord and difference from him. Conceivable dualism and monism are conceptions of the imperfect senses, which are unable to reach the transcendence, because the transcendence is beyond the conception of limited potency. The actions of Sri Advaita Prabhu, however, give tangible proof of inconceivable non-dualism. One who therefore surrenders unto Sri Advaita Prabhu can easily follow the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous dualism and monism. So, Advaita, there's a whole school of thought, Advaitavadis. Dvaita means two, and Advaita means not two, or non-dual. So the Advaitavadis think that the living entity and the Supreme Lord ultimately are one. That in conditioned existence, we imagine that we are individual, but when we're liberated, we realize that we are not individual, and like a drop of water merges and becomes one with the ocean, the individual soul merges and becomes one with the Supreme Soul. So that thinking does not allow us to call on the Lord with feeling like Advaitacharya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy of inconceivable, simultaneous oneness and difference is perfect. There has to be oneness. If there's no oneness, there can't be a relationship. Unless we have something in common with someone, how can we have a relationship? So there has to be some oneness in quality. But there is a difference in quantity, in that God is very great and we are very small. And because of that difference in quantity, we are naturally the servants and the Lord is naturally the master. It's a perfect philosophy. So we're simultaneously one in quality, but different in quantity. And that oneness allows us to have a relationship. But the difference defines the relationship, that we are the servant and he is master, or we are part and he is whole. And it's the natural function of the part to serve the whole. So in philosophical circles, religious circles, yoga circles, people are preoccupied with this idea of oneness. Just last week I met someone, the same idea, oneness. And there is oneness, but there's also difference. We are all spirit, aham brahmasmi. We're all spirit. We're one in the sense that we're all spirit. But we're Brahma, but he is Parabrahma. He is the supreme Brahma. So, we are in very hard times. Advaitacharya was powerful. He was Vishnu. He could not be affected by the material atmosphere. But we insignificant jivas can be. And it's very hard to stay strong in Krishna consciousness in such an environment. And consequently, how can we see people like Advaitacharya saw them? Because we get affected, because it's Kali Yuga and Maya is very strong, and then we actually think, maybe if I was more like them, maybe if I had more money, maybe if I had a nicer place to live, or maybe if I had a better car, or, maybe I'd be happier. And of course that, that type of thinking will really spell doom for us spiritually. So to protect ourselves, you could say, from that type of thinking that's so prevalent everywhere, we need to hear. We need to hear from scriptures. We need to hear from saintly persons. And we need to associate with devotees. And the materialists, they're like so clever. They're always attacking us, always, in gross and subtle ways. Say, what's wrong with you people? You always stick to yourselves. You lead like a cloistered life. You don't read other things. You just have like blinders on your eyes, shutters. They're just constantly attacking. Constantly attacking. And to be able to withstand those attacks, we need a strong association of devotees. association based on chanting and hearing about Krishna and remembering him. And then we can actually do good for others. Like when we fly, they usually have a film now. They have a film with safety measures. And they always say that, you know, in case of a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. And if you have a dependent child, you should fix your own oxygen mask first and then take care of the dependent child. And the idea is that the child is depending on you. So if you don't, if you're not able to take care of yourself, you won't be able to take care of the child. So you have to take care of yourself first, and then you'll be able to take care of the child. So it's sort of like that. The cabin pressure outside is so low. I mean, the supply of spiritual oxygen is so low. You could like suffocate very easily. And then how could you help anyone else? So we have to keep that supply of oxygen coming into our system so that we're strong and healthy, and then we can help others. And that supply of oxygen, spiritual oxygen, is Krishna, specifically manifest in the form of his holy name, his topics in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, his devotees, his deities, and the temple itself, or any holy place. These are all manifestations of the Lord. And by remaining in contact with the Lord, we get our oxygen. We get our spiritual oxygen, and we can remain alive in Krishna consciousness and actually help others. So there's more, but I think we will end now, and maybe we'll continue this tomorrow, or maybe we'll have the Bhagavatam class. But we will end now. And as Sachi Tanai Prabhu mentioned before the class, it's a fast day, fasting until noon. So we have a little extra time. So if anyone wants to make any comments or ask any questions, you can do that now. Yes, Sachi Tanai Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. you mentioned at almost the last part, one quote about Advaita Acharyas, and were saying that, you were mentioning that in this, that the religious, the highest religious principle for this age is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord.
Yes.
So about 500 years ago, in India at that time, most of the people were familiar with the some of them familiar to some extent because they grew up in the very culture. And most of the propagation of the Dharma was just go and chant in the holy name. Like Lord Nityananda will go and just knock at the door and he will say, please, can you say Krishna at least once? That was his Harinam Sankirtan with Haridas Thakur. And book distribution at the time was not that prominent because the people were familiar. Now, the point I'm mentioning is that when you also joined here at the beginning, the movement started just by Harinam Sankirtan. We didn't have many books too. But it appears that when we mentioned Harinam, it used to be like, well, that was the most topmost service that you had in those times. When we heard that, you know, Vishnu Jan Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and everybody, we just go in mass Sankirtan in Hollywood, and everybody appeared to be joining and joyfully and happy. As the time grew up, of course, Prabhupada's urgency was to distribute these books because without that knowledge, you wouldn't be able to chant Hare Krishna too. So the point I'm bringing is that sometimes it appears that we have minimized a little bit the Harinam Sankirtan, and it's almost lost in some places. It's a little bit, it is not as it should be, like hundreds of devotees going in the streets chanting, if that's actually the point of the religious principle of this age, like chanting the holy name, that the whole temple will be there. Is it the nature of the institutions that when it grows so much, we get caught up so much in management and so much apparently distractions that we neglect the ABC thing? Is something missing there or something that you think that can be adjusted? Or is it because maybe other reasons that I may not be able to understand? So it's like a comment and question. You know, of course, deity worship is very important along with any other thing. Wouldn't be able to perform devotional service. But sometimes it can be like too much and neglect one of the main topics of, you know, like going in Harinam. And this is not to say that we actually, like in this temple, we're fortunate. We have many yatras going, like Ratha Yatras and Martin Luther King Parade. We go. We are exposed in public, but not as much as you should be.
Well, this word kirtan, again related to the word kirti, means glorification, and sankirtan means complete glorification. Complete glorification can mean in association, like a large number of devotees engage in kirtan, and sankirtan, complete glorification, can also mean glorification of the name, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, and so on. So the books also contain kirtan. Glorification of Krishna, Sankirtan, full glorification. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he emphasized the production and distribution of literature as Sankirtan, Brihad Kirtan, beating on the Brihad Mridanga. So, you know, we want to do everything. We want to do Harinam Sankirtan, but we also want to do the, you know, Brihad Kirtan. And I mean, it could be that we become distracted, that we become too involved in institutional affairs and lose sight of the essence or the goal. It's possible. Or it could be a matter of time, place, and circumstance. When I was in Boston, we would do Harinam Sankirtan, you know, like 8 hours a day, sometimes more. And in other temples, they did the same. So when we came to India, we thought we'll just do Harinam Sankirtan. But Srila Prabhupada surprised us and said that in India many beggars take to the streets with cartels and sing to get money. And we don't want people to think that we're beggars. So he stopped us from doing daily Harinam at Sankirtan, and he introduced the Life Membership Program as a way of distributing his books, but a very dignified way of distributing his books. You go into someone's office or home and explain the philosophy, show them the books, and ask them to support the mission. So you know, we have to see what works. Phalena parichiyate, we have to judge by the result. But that result is not just external, it's also internal. Like, I believe that regular Harinam Sankirtan definitely encourages both the devotees and the people on the street. And temples, some temples, are increasing their efforts to have regular Harinam Sankirtan every Friday night for the whole temple, or every Saturday night, you know, for the whole temple. Because the atmosphere is so polluted, and the holy name can purify the atmosphere. Srila Prabhupada said it knocks on the doors of the hearts of the people. And we used to distribute books with the Harinam party, which was very potent. I mean, it's Krishna consciousness like that. You do as much as you can in as many different ways as you can. And depend on Krishna. But, you know, certainly the more we do Harinam Sankirtan, the better. It'd be good for us and good for the people. And, you know, so often we meet people and they say, "Oh, you guys still around? We haven't seen you guys in a long time. Where you been?" So, yeah. We want people to know that we're still around. And we want new people to know that we exist. So, I think we have to be careful of becoming too bureaucratic. Like Prabhupada said, bureaucracy will kill the whole thing. To be careful about that. And, I mean, you do need organization. There's no doubt about it. You have to be organized. But the goal should always be Krishna consciousness. You know, the substance. We require form, but that form is to like give shape to the substance so we can deliver the substance. And the substance is Krishna, Krishna consciousness, chanting and hearing. So yeah, have to be vigilant and determined. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
I have a comment and an announcement. I want to remind all the devotees that today we have our Maha Harinam of the month. We go to downtown Los Angeles. It's a 3-block by 7-block area. It's called the Art Walk. Approximately 25 to 30,000 souls go there. When we go there, we transfer that atmosphere into Vaikuntha. We come with the holy name, dozens of the devotees, prasadam, and books. So please, Advaita Acharya cried on behalf of the conditioned souls, please, please, my Lord Chaitanya, please come, come and deliver them. So I think it'd be the most wonderful offering to Lord, to Sri Advaita, to go and assist Lord Chaitanya in his mission in delivering the conditioned souls. So everyone is invited to get Sri Advaita's mercy and come out tonight. We'll be congregating at 6 o'clock to go out. It's only a 2-hour jagya. I guarantee anyone that comes out, without a doubt, they'll feel themselves at the end of this performance and during the Sankirtan jagya, they'll feel themselves, without a doubt, purified. Collectively and individually. Hare Krishna.
Jai. 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 Hare Hare Bol.